Beloved congregation, last Sunday we considered in Matthew 1 that passage of Joseph, and at the end how he, we read, took unto him his wife. Joseph and Mary are now husband and wife, living under the same roof. And in those early days they shared and they talked, no doubt a lot, but they also waited. Waiting for the birth of this child. But during that period when they were waiting, probably within a number of weeks, Joseph hears news. The whole town of Nazareth is buzzing with the news about a decree. Can you imagine the stir this would have caused, not only in Nazareth's markets, but throughout the land? Whenever new orders, new regulations, new rules are issued by governments, people are talking. It affects everyone. In those days too, Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor who ruled them, had issued orders for a census. And that census meant that everyone had to go to be taxed, to be enrolled in the census, to their own hometown. And for Joseph, that meant he had to go to Bethlehem to be taxed, to enroll in the census. And imagine Joseph as he hears this news. He decides to take Mary along, though I don't think in the original census she would have had to have gone. And the original seems to imply that he took her not because he had to, but because she was great with child, to care for her. He wanted her with him, and whether or not they saw the prophecies being fulfilled that out of Bethlehem shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, we're not told. Possibly they did. But then we're told the simple and divinely inspired story, the history. As we read it this morning in Luke 2, verse 6, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." The most significant birth, the most important birth ever had just happened. The Son of God was born as a man. Divinity had taken to itself humanity and appeared in Bethlehem. And yet no one knew it but those two. Bethlehem was unaware. The thousands of Israel and Judah were unaware, completely oblivious. No one knew. But it didn't remain that way. When God sent forth his Son, he also saw to it that his birth would be announced. He saw to it that this baby, like so many, yes, every other baby, would have visitors, and that this news would bring great joy into the hearts of those visitors. And so we consider this morning the first visitors at the manger, these shepherds. First, we'll see they go with burning hearts. Second, they see with worshiping hearts. And third, they return with overflowing hearts. The first visitors at the manger go with burning hearts. Children, are you listening? I'm going to tell you a true story. Children, do you know what happened on the night when Jesus was born? Joseph and Mary were in that place where animals were kept. And they laid the baby Jesus in the manger, a feeding tray for animals. And children, it was night. They were all alone. And it was quiet. But not far away, somewhere in the fields nearby, there were sheep. And there were some men taking care of those sheep, watching over them. Those men, you'll know, are called shepherds, children. Shepherds take care of sheep. And you can picture with me how that night the shepherds got comfortable. Maybe some were sitting down on the ground. Maybe some were laying down. We don't know. Maybe they had a fire. Again, we don't know. Quite possible. What we do know is it was dark. It was nighttime. The sheep were probably bedded down in the fields near them. What do you think the shepherds were doing, boys and girls? Do you think they were sleeping? No, they were awake. They were watching over the sheep, keeping an ear out for the roar of a lion or the noise of some animal. And in order to stay awake, maybe they talked together. Maybe they talked about the census and about all the people that had come to town and how the inn was packed full, not even a room left. Maybe these shepherds talked about the Lord. We don't know. But then something happened. All of a sudden, without any warning, there stood an angel from heaven. Angels live in heaven. Angels are glorious beings created by God who do what God wants them to do. And this one was told by God to go to see these shepherds. And so there he stands right beside them. We read the angel of the Lord came upon them, came near to them. And we read, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Words fail us here. Heavenly glory shone all around. This isn't some big flashlight, one of those bright yellow work lights. No, this was heavenly glory. Something that carried weight, the weight of majesty. Children, do you know how the shepherds responded? Were they glad to see an angel? No. Were they curious? What is this, an angel? No. They were scared. They were sore afraid. I think those shepherds thought for sure they were going to die. But were they going to die, children? No, they were going to live. Because the angel said, fear not, don't be afraid. For behold, I am here to bring you good news, joyful news, great news for you, shepherds, and for all people. Because right over there in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior was just born. And his name is Christ the Lord. And he said, the angel said he was born for you. Unto you is born. Here's a gift for them. It was so personal for those shepherds. Your Savior is born. And you'll find him, here's the sign, the angel says, you'll find him laying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. What an amazing message. But then the sky was filled with a multitude of angels. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. These shepherds are stunned at this dazzling display of glory. glory there in the fields of Ephratah. This message, this display of glory, this song. And then, all of a sudden, it was over. It was dark again. Oh, the voices were quiet. All the angels were gone. All the glory of the Lord was, as it were, gathered up with those angels and whisked back to heaven. And it was back to how it was a few minutes before. Everything was gone except the message. The message was not gone. Can you imagine, boys and girls, what those shepherds were feeling? There they sat, stunned. Their hearts still pounding, no doubt, at that very fearful sight of that angel. And now their minds racing as they're thinking about the words that that angel told them. Incredible. Those were angels from heaven giving us a beautiful message. You know, boys and girls, I think those shepherds love the Lord already. Don't you think so? They love the Lord. And now when the Lord tells them of his goodwill towards men, they are so happy. They are so full of his goodness, and their hearts begin to burn with joy, with amazement, and they say to each other, what do they say? Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They believed every word that angel said. They inhaled it by faith. It is come to pass. Now let's go see this thing. And the word thing there is actually literally translated word. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this word which has come to pass. And when we translate it that way, we discover the focus of these shepherds is the word, that which they heard. That which they had seen was amazing. But what they heard stuck. The word of God stuck fast in their minds like an arrow. It's how God always works, through his word. He takes his word and he brings that word of truth home like an arrow to the conscience, to the soul. The emphasis is not the dazzling displays of angels from heaven. The emphasis is not the eye-catching visuals that sadly so many churches introduce. The emphasis is not the pounding music of a paid producer parading as an acceptable form of worship. It's not the means God will use. It's the word of God. The God-appointed means is the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he will use his word preached such that it has impact. It'll move you like it moved these shepherds. It set them into motion. They are drawn to Jesus. They must go to see this word that has come to pass. And notice they all go. They don't say, one of us go. You go check it out and let us know what you find. No, no. They're saying it to one another. They're of one heart, one mind. They don't send a delegate. All of them go. They all want to go. Let us now go together. They don't worry about their sheep. They leave them to God's safekeeping. They go in response to God's word. Their hearts are burning. They want to see this child. And notice the words there in verse 16, and they came with haste. It's noteworthy. They were hastening. Because their hearts were full, burning with desire to see this great word told them by the Lord. It's the power of the word, congregation. When it comes home to your heart by the operation of the Holy Spirit, whether it's for the first time, unexpectedly as with these shepherds, or for the hundredth or the thousandth time, expectedly as in church, and then it comes, it's still the powerful word of God. And when you least expect it sometimes, that word is laid on your ears and enters your heart and begins to burn in your heart as you hear it, and everyone else in church falls away, and you hear the Lord's word in a way that maybe you had never experienced before. It's the Holy Spirit applying that word to your heart. It can be a word of warning, a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, but the effect is the same. It startles you. It gets you moving. It kindles a spark inside of you. It's a blessing for you. Times like that are blessed times, and we should be praying as we prepare for church. Lord, give us burning hearts this morning. Fill our hearts with thy truth, with thy spirit, yes, with thee. Isn't that why we come to church? Whether on a special service like today or on the Lord's Day, we come to church just because we've always done it, or do we come to church with the prayer, Lord, fill my heart with thee? We look for satisfaction in so many things in this world, from Monday to Saturday, and sometimes on Sunday too. But in thee, my soul is satisfied. You believe that? These shepherds did, and they go. They go. Oh, may this make us earnestly desirous, like these shepherds, to seek the Lord afresh, in loving return for all his goodness and his grace. We sang it, seek ye Jehovah and his power, seek ye his presence every hour, his work so marvelous and great. Remember still and meditate upon the wonders of his hands, the judgments which his mouth commands. And then you can do that too in your prayer closet. You go before the Lord and you seek him in prayer, in devotion, and your heart longs for his presence and nearness. It's what these shepherds had. Why do their hearts burn so much within them? It's because by faith they know this newborn baby is not only a child, but also the Savior, as they've been told, the one who will deliver Israel. And their hearts burn because God has kept his covenant word. And by faith they lay hold of it, that to them, the lowest of society, was revealed not one who is a king behind locked palace doors, but one who is a king in a place they frequent. Yes, even in a manger, perhaps they had hand filled for their sheep or other animals. One who came literally at the level of their sheep. Not too high for the castaways that they were. In that time, shepherds in those days were the lowest of society, but they could go. He's accessible. Accessible to you, to me, and to all this day. One of the beautiful answers in the Catechism speaks about that, not only to others, but to me also. Remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given of God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. That's these shepherds. To me also. For unto you, congregation, is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We'll see them go with haste. They can't wait to see him. Let us go right now, even to Bethlehem. And so they go with burning hearts, but they also secondly see with worshiping hearts. And we read that they found Mary and Joseph and the babe. How long did it take? We don't know exactly, but the word Luke uses implies diligent searching. They didn't give up if at first they couldn't find him. They knew he's here, he's to be found, and they searched diligently until they found Jesus. A simple lesson drawn from this for you and me. Children, young people, adults, older ones, it's what he calls for you to do too. We have this quaint saying, I'm sure you've heard it. Wise men still seek him. Do you? He's willing to be found, you know. In Jeremiah 29, he says, I will be found of you. How? Well, in that same chapter, verse 12, just one verse before it, he says how. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Diligent searching again. Child of God, maybe you're here this morning or you're listening, you're backslidden from him. And your heart is cold. Seek him diligently with all your heart. Hosea 14, verse 2. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Young people, seek him with all your heart. He promises, they that seek me early shall find me. And you unconverted one here this morning who have never sought him, he calls you to be a shepherd, to seek him too. And maybe you feel the Lord is against you. Maybe because things aren't going the way you want them to in life. Maybe that's why. Or maybe you say, I've sinned so much, the Lord is against me, he's angry with the wicked every day, he's angry with me. And so the walls go up and I just clam up. But that doesn't mean you can't seek him. He himself says it in Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. The Lord is speaking to the people under punishment in exile, and he says those same words as Jeremiah. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's the problem, isn't it? So often we seek him half-heartedly. But oh, let us ask for grace to seek him diligently like these shepherds. We'll see these shepherds as they arrive. Children, can you picture it in your mind? There in this stable, they see Mary and Joseph, and then as they walk up to the manger, they see him. Maybe Joseph and Mary were surprised that they went straight to the manger. How'd they know? I'm sure they talked it out later. But they see him, the child. There he is, his little head, his little hands, his little body wrapped up in strips of cloths to protect him. Maybe his eyes were closed, as newborn eyes often are. But what a sight for those shepherds. And as they beheld, it was exactly as the angel had said. This is no coincidence. Truly, the child announced to them in the fields of Ephrata, the one of whom the angel spoke would be wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, is this child. And they see him. And they rejoice. And they worship. Their hearts are still burning. But now their hearts begin to worship him as God's son. We talk about babies as adorable. What we mean to say is they're so cute. We don't adore any baby. We adore this one with these shepherds. They worship him as God. They worship because there in the mangers they saw the evidence of God's faithfulness. Here before them lay the one in whom God's covenant promises were being fulfilled. All the promises of God in this child are yea and amen. It's visible. Holdable proof, physical proof that God will not break his word nor alter the thing that has gone out of his mouth. He's faithful to his word, and how true yet today. God's promises today too are still held fast in this child, in the one there in that manger, but today in our time, he's just as alive. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. Our Lord Jesus is the evidence, the proof, the guarantee that God will be faithful to his word. And what reason that is then for us to worship too. We can worship just like those shepherds still today, because that same one in that manger on that day is still present today. Not only in heaven, but also here. Doesn't the Catechism tell us that with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is at no time absent from us? Oh, let us worship. They worship second because there in the manger they saw what they truly believed was God's Son in the flesh. The angel had said, this is Christ, the Lord, the anointed Christ, the Messiah. How worthy of worship. Third, they worship because here was one of whom they were not worthy. These men understood something of their own unworthiness. They were sinners. They deserved nothing. They'd sinned in so many ways, and they'd also been convicted of that by the Lord in their lives. And what reason for us too to worship him? When you see, beloved, when you really see what you actually deserve, nothing. That he humbled himself not only to become one of his own created creatures, but to suffer and to die for someone like you, like me, who don't deserve a thing. That should lead to worship. Such condescending grace for them. They could see him for themselves. They had access to one so great, again, who wasn't protected behind some palace walls or locked gates. He was there for them, yet so unworthy. How condescending that he should come so low for them, that he should become so poor for them. This is it, which the Apostle Paul later picks up on, and as he writes to the Corinthians, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Well, these shepherds, they worship. But after some time, they had to go again. No doubt they shared what they had seen and heard with Joseph and Mary. And the hearts of that couple and these shepherds were bound together in love and adoration for the Lord. But then eventually they had to turn to the door and go back outside. And children, did they go back to the sheep? Well, I think they did eventually, but not at first. What do we read? We read that they went to other sheep, the sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And isn't it something that the Lord Jesus Christ, from his manger, sends out the very first evangelists of the New Testament, the first gospel preachers were these shepherds. And when they had seen it, verse 17, they made known abroad the saying, very important, which was told them concerning this child. The saying. This takes us to our third point. They return with overflowing hearts. As they head for the streets, into the streets of Bethlehem, we can imagine the sun rising in the east, the town beginning to stir awake, and as they meet people, the shepherds address them. What do they say? What would you have said? Oh, you should have been there last night, in the fields. Never seen such glory. No, we don't read that they talked about that. Their message isn't about the glory of the Lord that had scared them so bad. They don't mention even the stable as such. They don't get lost in the details. They make known abroad what? The saying. The saying which was told them concerning this child. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's the kernel. That's the core. That's what they proclaim. The word they heard, again, the word so central. The word preached. And they would have pointed people, and you can go to that place to see him. The shepherds couldn't remain silent. Their hearts overflowed with this message. Enthusiastically and convincingly, they spoke to the people they met of God's Savior who had been born, of how God had remembered covenant mercies and was at work in his people's salvation, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone they met. Verse 18 says, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Bethlehem wondered. Verse 19, we read, Mary pondered all these things as these shepherds proclaim. What do we see here? We see a natural response, don't we? When the Lord works in the heart, when he leads to salvation, that will also lead to proclamation. Not just in shepherds. That counts for us too. When you have personally experienced the amazing grace of God, when you've seen with the eye of faith what he's done, when you've, as it were, bowed before that manger, before that child in that manger, then you'll be willing to speak about that. Each in their own way, sure, but all will speak of it. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. You who fear the Lord, does your heart overflow about the great things God has done for you? And do you also speak about that to others? As we'll sing, the righteous then shall gather round. What a beautiful picture that is. The righteous then shall gather round and hear what God has done for me. Maybe you feel dark inside. And you say, I struggle. How can I speak like these shepherds? You don't have to witness about yourself, but of him. It may be dark, but if you know he is good, can you not say that as opportunities rise? Family visits. I don't think these shepherds were trained speakers. Maybe you say with Jeremiah, "Ah, Lord, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Neither could these shepherds. And yet, out of the abundance of their hearts, they spoke. And say, "Lord, fill my heart with love to thee to overflowing. Open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." Think of the many who walk in night, many who don't know their greatest need or where they can find peace. Even in our religious life, many of our young people hear but little about living daily for and out of the Lord. And I know a lot of this is your walk and not your talk. We shouldn't let our talk get ahead of our walk. But child of God, let's not be silent. Older ones, seniors, parents, speak to those younger about the ways of the Lord, about what God has done for you. Be like those shepherds, enthusiastically, convincingly speak to them as opportunities arise. And when you put it in this perspective, say today what you will wish you had said when you're breathing your last. Let it motivate you to seek grace from the Lord, to speak to others the word. It's quite a thought. What impression will our children have of us when we are gone, parents? Will they know about the depths of the grace of God and the place that they can turn when they must face life's trials? May God bless us, even as we interact with those around us, our neighbors too. We can speak with our neighbors. Do they ever hear a shepherd in you, in me? The shepherds maybe didn't talk to a lot of people, but when they get the chance here, that they're not catching up on the news, they're telling them what's on their heart. Out of hearts overflowing. May the Lord give grace. Fill our hearts with this Savior to overflowing. And to him shall be all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, fill our hearts, we pray, with thy grace and thy salvation in all that thou hast done. We thank thee, Lord, for this wonderful history. We pray that the lessons flowing from it would stick in our lives. Bless thy word by thy Holy Spirit. Forgive our sins even in worship this morning. Bring us together again at the appointed times, also tomorrow, in thy house. We pray for Pastor Koopman and Pastor Van Lira as they bring thy word. We pray for traveling mercies again and for a good day this day.